You, Blake, how we doing tonight? Come on, somebody. Oh, man, I am pumped to be with you guys. I'm Carl. Oh, my gosh, there's so many of you. Oh, hello, friends. Hey, just really quickly so we can have a real connection this weekend. Would you tell me your name really quickly? One, two, three, go. Awesome. We're best friends. Excellent. Where are you from? What church is ready? Go. Oh my gosh, that's my favorite church. That one, the one with Christ in the name. That's the best. That's the best. I'll tell you a little bit about myself and then we're gonna jump into it. Again, my name is Carl. I've had the awesome privilege of getting to work with students for the last 17 years. I know I don't look that old, but I wear a lot of makeup. So I'm gonna be kicking it with you guys over the next couple of days. I brought a friend up with me. He is our director for our leadership school at our church up in outside Sacramento called Bayside Church. And so Shane, he's gonna be hanging out with me this weekend. He's in the back. He's very, very smartly dressed. I didn't bring my family with me because my 6.5-year-old daughter, she used to be homeschooled up until a couple of weeks ago. And during that period of my preaching, I stopped making fun of homeschoolers because I had one. But she's going back to school on Monday, so back to making fun of homeschoolers, okay? Sorry. Go to regular school like a regular person. I don't know what I want you to tell you. There's like a whole group of homeschoolers here like, well, you just don't get it, Carl. I just get nervous, okay? Well, I don't know what to tell you. That's that. But I'll show you a quick picture of my two daughters. Hey, I did that. Okay? Those are my two little caramel babies. They're caramel because their mom's white. Chocolate, vanilla, caramel. Georgia is the 6-year-old. Ruby is the 3-year-old, but she thinks she's 6 because her sister's 6, so we don't tell her. So they are awesome, and I love them so very much, and they're probably at home right now refusing to go to sleep. So pray for my wife, Jen. Her and I have been married for 10 years, and she, yeah, clap for not getting divorced. Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, we're doing it. Love her so much. And because of her, I get this awesome, because she is at home with our girls, I get the awesome privilege of being able to do this, to hang out with students. And because of the graciousness of my senior pastor, Ray Johnson, I get to go to camps and conferences and actually get an opportunity to travel all around to, like, hang out with students. And it's so cool. Like, actually, just a couple months ago, I got this awesome opportunity to go to New York. And I'm in New York for this this Bible thing, and I didn't really understand why I was there, but it was like this Bible thing. And you'll get to know this over the weekend. I'm kind of like I like to say I know what I want. People say that I'm picky, bougie, and know-it-all, and uptight. Okay, but I just know what I want. So I don't particularly usually like do my own hotel reservations because, again, I don't know how to use the internet. So this lady who works for me, she's the best, she does my hotel reservation in New York. And I show up, and first of all, like, the thing that I'm supposed to be at is like in Brooklyn, and she gets me this hotel in Queens. That doesn't mean much to you, but it's far away and it's not as nice. So I walk in to my room, and, you know, I'm here to, like, preach the Bible to people and do all that stuff, so I got to be in the right state of mind. But I walk in, and instantly, I walk in this hotel room, and I'm like, ew. You ever walked in a hotel room, and you're like, ew? And that's what I did. I was like, ew. And first thing you got to do is check if there's any dead people underneath the bed. There weren't. So then I proceeded to, like, test out the bed. And, you know, like, I'm sitting on the bed like, That's me sitting on the bed. And I pull back the sheets, and I get in the sheets. And I get in the sheets, and I'm like, ugh, what kind of thread count is this? It's just like a 40 thread count. And I'm like, my beautiful black skin is used to like 400 Egyptian cotton. So I'm like, I gotta figure this out. So I proceed to leave the hotel and I go to Ross. There's a Ross nearby. And I go and get these really nice sheets and a nice comforter. And I bring it back to my hotel and I throw their sheets away and I put my sheets in, cup my comforter, and I lay down. I'm like, oh, that's better. But then I lean my head back and it's like I hit a cinder block. And I said, what kind of pillow is this? This isn't hypoallergenic down from Sweden. That's what I need. So I leave the hotel, and now I need a really nice pillow. So I head into Midtown, and I go to Nordstrom's, and I buy this really nice pillow. I come back, I put it on the bed, get under the 400 count Egyptian sheets, and I'm like, ooh, this is nice. And I grab the remote to turn on the television, and I hit on, and I can barely see the screen across this room. There's this little 32-inch television. And I'm like, oh, hello. How am I supposed to watch The Office or Scandal? If I wasn't Christian, I'd watch the Scandal. But I'm like, how am I supposed to watch these shows on this little 32-inch TV? I noticed on my way to Midtown that there was a Best Buy. So I go to Best Buy. I walk in, and I'm like, hey, I need a really nice TV. Church is paying for it. Not really. And I'm like, cool. So they're like, oh, here's a nice 65-inch television. I'm like, that's what I need. So I get the 65-inch television. I'm like, can you deliver it soon? Because I can't carry that down the street. They're like, yeah, we can deliver it just in a couple hours. They deliver it to the hotel room. And I place it up on the thing, and I sit down under the cotton, beautiful cotton sheets, get the nice down comforter, hypoallergenic thing. I turn on the TV, boom, it's awesome. But then I'm like, gosh, the vibes in here. You know when you're about to Netflix and pray? That the vibes got to be just right. And I'm like, this isn't right. The lights and it's just, bleh. So I jump on the train and I head past Brooklyn and I find this IKEA. I love IKEA. You can get anything there. I go to IKEA. I go to the home furnishing section. I buy this nice little rug that's going to fit right perfectly in the middle of the room. I get some new lamps because I didn't like their lamps. Too harsh on my eyes, right? And I go back. I put it in the room and I'm like, yes, I am ready to watch television. I get under my sheets. 400 count Egyptian cotton, my beautiful down hypoallergenic pillow, my 65-inch television from Best Buy, the lights. And as I'm about to watch The Office, I'm laying there and I go, you know what this room needs? It needs a nice bay window so I can get a nice view of the city. So it's late by now because I've been busy all day. Missed the conference I was supposed to be at. And I call a local contractor and I say, hey, can you get here first thing in the morning? I'm at the La Quinta in Queens. And I need you to just blow out a wall and put in a bay window. Now, obviously, some things I just told you aren't true. I'm not going to mention which ones. But some parts of that story aren't true. But here's what I find ridiculous about the human person, about human nature. We spend so much time trying to fix, trying to situate, trying to make just right things and places that are temporary. We spend so much time trying to fix and maintain and make just right things that are temporary. I didn't own that hotel. I wasn't going to live there for even a week. But how crazy would it have been if that's the kind of care and time
that I took to make that temporary place feel like home. Young man, young woman, hear me when I tell you this. When it comes to this life and eternity, more often than not, that's what you and I do. When it comes to this life that we're living and breathing right now and eternity where we will be forever, this is exactly what we do. Trying to make sure that this life feels just comfortable enough. Trying to make sure that this life feels just right enough. Trying to make sure every little situation is just so. And if you hear anything I say to you all weekend, I want you to hear this. Don't waste your life on this life. If you're prone to write anything down, write that down. Don't waste your life focused on this life. Writer Mark Twain says this: the two most important days of your life is the day that you were born and the day you find out why. The two most important days of your life, the day that you were born and the day that you find out why. Listen, my friends, here's what I want you to understand. You were born by human needs, by human action. That's how your life started. Under common grace, a man and a woman came together. 9 months later, maybe less, you were born. But the day you figure out why, the day you figure out why, that you were made on purpose, with purpose, for purpose, it will change the trajectory of this life and the next. The day you realize why God placed you on this earth for purpose, by purpose, with purpose, it will change your life now and forever. Solomon, perhaps the wisest person to ever walk this earth besides Jesus, writes an entire book in Scripture called Ecclesiastes. Where Solomon looks at all the splendors of this world, looks at all the riches that he has, the smartest guy to ever live, and perhaps the richest man, theologians tell us, to ever live. And he has all this stuff, and he looks at it, and he says, meaningless. It's all meaningless. Like you saw in the video, catching the flyer flies, and it's not enough. Solomon looks, and he goes, it's all meaningless. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, He points out something to every single one of us that we should hold fast to. Solomon says this: he being God, has made everything beautiful in its time. I'm going to pause right here. Young ladies, look at me. God has made you beautiful. Every girl in this space, high and low, look at me. God has made you beautiful. Don't listen to that knucklehead. Don't listen, don't let that man, don't let that Instagram account, don't let anything define you, because Scripture tells us he has made everything, you are included in that, beautiful. Beautiful in its time. That one was for free. He has also, this is the key, he has also set, what's that word? No. Listen, come on white people, you gotta get with me here. When I ask you to say something, you got to say it with some conviction, okay? He has also set in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to now. God has set eternity in your heart. God has put forever ever inside of you. Now, you may not be a believer. Some of you are up here for the ladies. Some of you are up here for the guys. Some of you are up here to get away from your families for this weekend. Some of you are up here running from things that you don't want to be part of anymore, and you're hoping that a difference happens this week. Let me tell you something, my friends. God has created you on purpose, for purpose, with purpose, and has set eternity forever in your heart. And if God has set eternity in my heart, I can't be living for today. If God has set eternity in your heart, you shouldn't be living for that scholarship. You shouldn't be living for that car. You shouldn't be living for that relationship. You shouldn't be living for the applause. You shouldn't be living for the streaks. You shouldn't be living for the likes. Because God didn't put that in your heart. God didn't put that in my heart. You know what God put in my heart? Eternity. And everything else, come on somebody, everything else outside of that, meaningless. Everything else outside of that, temporary. Shane told me this afternoon as we were driving up here, and I loved it. He said, Carl, have you ever thought about this? Everything that we love and hold dear to on this earth, one day will be sold at a garage sale. Some of you are going to have kids. Some of you. Some of you are going to have kids, and your kid is going to be selling this ancient relic called the iPhone 10 for 35 space bucks. That's like a percentage of a Bitcoin. And right now, come on, somebody, you're holding on to that iPhone 10 like, oh, Jesus, don't let me drop this. Well, stop carrying it around. God created us on purpose, for purpose, with purpose, with eternity set in our hearts. So when we think about God, when we think about the things of God, you know what our hearts should exclaim? Our hearts should exclaim worship and wonder. My friends, look at me in the eyes. All four of mine. We have lost the wonder. We have lost the wonder. I'm so dull. I'm so dull. My senses are so dull. My imagination is so fickle. I've lost the wonder. Driving up the hill this afternoon, just as we made that last turn to Hume Lake and we looked over that valley, I said, Shane, look at that. Look at that. Now, you know what I didn't do in that situation? I didn't take out my phone and take a picture and write some cheesy quote on it and wait patiently to see how many likes I'm going to get. That's not wonder. I just sat in it and was like, wow. So many of us are missing life because we're doing this. We're recording it. You're missing life because you're recording it. And I don't even know what you do with those recordings. Why are you recording for 3 minutes when you can only put 59 seconds on Instagram? That part doesn't make sense to me. But when I have awe and when I have wonder, when you have awe and you have wonder, it leaves us speechless. It leaves us in awe. It leaves us celebrating and worshiping God. The Apostle Peter walks with Jesus for 3.5 years. He watches Jesus pick up a cross, walk to Calvary, let his life be taken by God the Father, dies on a cross, puts in a grave. 3 days later, he's resurrected. Jesus spends 40 days walking the earth with his disciples, with his friends, preparing them for the future. And Peter, later on, begins to tell people. He's not just a disciple. Peter turns into a disciple maker, and he goes on mission, telling people about the love of God, of the beauty of God, of the awe of God. So when Peter writes a letter to this church, this group of believers, Gentiles and Jews, mostly Gentiles, who have feeling beat up, who are feeling discouraged, who are like, man, God, I don't know if you're still there. We don't see you. We don't feel you. We don't know you. Peter reminds them of the awe and wonder of eternity. He reminds them of the awe and wonder of eternity. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Peter says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Peter exclaims the wonder of God, the wonder of eternity. And Peter talks about five realities that will lead into worship and wonder. Number one, Peter talks about God's great mercy, where he says, Blessed be the God, our Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy. You see, Peter's saying God isn't just stingy in mercy. We live in a world where people are stingy, where people are holding on to their own thing, where people are thinking about themselves. But God is lavish in his mercy. Do you understand that, my friends? It's like God looks at you and says, young lady, I can't stand but to give you more mercy. I'm going to give you the thing that you don't deserve, the thing that you need. I'm just going to pour it over you. And Peter says, blessed the Lord God. The Lord God, the Father of Jesus Christ. He sets God up the only place God deserves to be, on top. And he's in awe and wonder of him. Peter talks about God's work of new birth. He talks about God's work of new birth, saying this, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. A living hope. Friends, understand this. Apart from Jesus, you are dead. You might be walking around right now. You might be talking. You might be posting. But apart from the living hope of Jesus Christ, you are dead. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, that's pretty heavy stuff. But that's the reality. Peter says, God is in the business of bringing things to life, to new life. Peter says, God's works are about raising Jesus from the dead. Do you understand the power that God has to have, has to wield, to raise Jesus Christ from the dead? Listen, this isn't Walking Dead. This isn't something you watch on TV. This is a man who is fully God, fully man, but in all of his humanity, dies on a cross, and then God, in all of his sovereignty, raises him from the dead. Peter remembers that moment at Calvary, and he says, it leaves me in awe and in wonder. God the Father. Peter
remembers that God promised an inheritance. You see, this gripped Peter's heart so dearly because Peter said, I was lost, I was gone, I was dead, but God brought me back to life and he called me his son, he called me his child, but he didn't just call me a son or a child, he gave me an inheritance. He lavishes over me the great things that are in store. You understand, my friends, that God's economy is different than ours. That God has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, that God's home is paved with materials, with minerals that we've never seen or even understand. And the day we get to heaven, we're going to be like, God, what is that? You're going to show up with your little Tiffany bling? And God's going to be like, no, 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 girlfriend. Let me hang this on your neck. And you're like, what is that? That's your inheritance. And you know what God's doing, Peter says? He's keeping our inheritance. He's keeping your inheritance. Literal translation means it's kept in heaven for you. You know what that means, guys? It means, God, come on, give me eyes. I'm almost done. It means God's got something better just over the horizon. God's got something better just over the horizon. It's better than that relationship. It's better than that job. It's better than that car. It's better than that house. God's got something better just over the horizon. So what do I do? What do you do? In view of eternity, what are we to do, God? Paul writes this in Colossians 3:2. You are to set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. You are to set your mind on things above and not earthly things. They tell us, they being the people who run Google, that the average American lifespan is 76.4 years. I did the math. The average age of this room is 15 and a half. That means if you're lucky, you've got 60 more years on this planet. And P.S., death is batting 1,000. You've got 60 years left on this planet. What are you going to do with it? If this rope was to represent eternity, and imagine it doesn't go behind that mountain, but imagine it goes on forever and ever 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 and ever. This red represents your 76 and a half years. And man, if you are a man or woman of God, you live to be 99 like Billy Graham. It still ain't that long. Are you going to live for this? Or are you going to live for all of that? Because listen, you know what God didn't set in your heart? He didn't set this life in your heart. God set eternity in you. God set eternity in me. Peter exclaims, awe, worship and wonder of eternity with God. And not someday, but today. That's what we're going to talk about this week, my friends. If you're tired of hearing about eternity, sorry. I got 3 more of these, locked and loaded. Because I think we've lost our awe and wonder for eternity. And I think, myself included, the adults in this room included, are thinking about today and the things of this world more than the things of God. Pastors don't typically do this. Well, they do, but they're not honest about it. I remember listening to a sermon that Pastor John Piper gave
almost 20 years ago to a group of young people, a little older than you guys. And I remember in college reading a book that he wrote after that. And this week, I went back and listened to this sermon that he gave. And I don't think there's a more poignant message to this youth, to this generation, than these words. So I'm going to end my sermon giving you somebody else's sermon. Your youth pastor does it all the time. They just don't tell you. This is what John Piper stood in front of a group of young people just like you and told them. He said, "You don't have to know a lot of things for your life to make a lasting difference in the world. But you do have to know a few great things that matter. And then be willing to live for them and die for them. The people that make a durable difference in this world are not the people who have mastered many things, but who have been mastered by a few great things. If you want your life to count, if you want the ripple effect of the pebble you drop to become waves that reach the ends of the earth and roll on for centuries into eternity, you don't have to have a high IQ or a high EQ. You don't have to have good looks or riches. You don't have to come from a fine family or a fine school. You just have to know a few great, majestic, unchanging, obvious, simple, glorious things and be set on fire by them. But I know, and this is true today, I know that there are hundreds of you in this room who don't care whether you make a lasting difference for something great. You just want to be liked. And if people just like you, you'd be satisfied. Or if you could just have a good job and a good wife one day and a couple of kids and a nice car and a long weekends and a few good friends and a fun retirement and a quick and easy death, and no hell. If you could have that, you'd be satisfied, even without God. And that is a tragedy in the making. John Piper writes this, a few weeks ago, Ruby Ellison and Laura Edwards had both been killed in Cameroon. Ruby was over 80 years old. Single all her life, she poured it all out for one great thing, to make Jesus known among the unreached, the poor and the sick. Laura was a widow and a medical doctor, pushing 80 years old and serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. One evening as they drove their car to a far village, the brakes gave way and over a cliff they go, and they're gone, killed in an instant. I asked my people, was that a tragedy? Two lives driven by one great vision, spent in unheralded service to the perishing poor for the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 decades after most all their American counterparts had gone off to retire and thrown their lives to things of this world. No, it's not a tragedy. This is glory. I tell you the tragedy is this. Bob and Penny took early retirement for their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler playing softball and collecting seashells. That's a tragedy. And people today are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. And I plead with you, my friends, plead with you, don't buy it. With all my heart, I plead with you, don't buy that dream, the American dream, a nice house, a nice car, a nice job, a nice family, a nice retirement, collecting seashells as your last chapter before you stand before the creator of the universe and give account of your life. And what do you say? Here, Lord, my seashell collection.
Don't waste your life. Stop installing bay windows. Because you're not going to show up to God one day and go, God, look, this awesome GPA from my high school. God, look, I got into Pepperdine. God, look, this super cute girl that went on a date with me. God, look, money and success. God, look, the perfect hairstyle, the perfect makeup, the perfect physique. God, look at my seashell collection. 10 temporal things that will be gone by the wayside, even including the body that you have. If you hear anything I say all weekend, hear this, my friends. Don't waste your life focused on this life. Because God has set eternity within you. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you would just begin to wrap our heads and our hearts around this deep truth. That the things of this world are passing by. And our hearts should exclaim, blessed be the Lord God, Father of Jesus Christ. That we would be left in awe and wonder. I pray that every young man and every young woman in this space, young and old, this weekend, Lord Jesus, would be captured by the thoughts of eternity, not someday, but today. Help us to focus. On the things above, right here, right now. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
Thanks, Carl.